He already has 99 that know the truth. And if one of them departs from the flock and goes astray, he leaves the 99 where they're safe, and he goes after the other one until he finds him and brings him back to the fold. Brings him back to the fold. That's the love of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That is the heart of God.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, Raul will continue our series celebrating Jesus' sacrificial love, thinking about Jesus' commitment to care for his people as a shepherd cares for his sheep. You'll get encouragement to fully entrust your life to Christ. He seeks you out by name, and when you respond to him in faithful surrender, he'll guide you along paths of righteousness to your eternal heavenly home. Today's lesson is titled The Parable of the Lost Sheep. In Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 11, here's Raul Reese.
And now Christ, what he's doing in chapter 18 of Matthew, turn there, verses 11 to 14, the parable of the lost sheep. This story also is seen in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, verse 3 to 7. And the picture was very familiar to one of those that lived in the time of Christ, those that were listening to Jesus. Because they were very comfortable. If you've ever been to Israel with us, you know, the first time I ever went to Israel, I was blown away. I went back in the 70s. And I'll never forget, this is before Israel expanded its borders. The Palestinians were still living there. There were borders wherever you went. There was no safety there. And I remember going to Bethlehem, where you can go to Bethlehem today. Today they have an iron wall and they have a checkpoint, and nobody can go to Bethlehem because you could be killed. And Bethlehem was a place where we always used to take the buses and take the people to the shepherd's fields. And in the shepherd's fields, there was always a nomad family with a tent. They were living on top of this hill, and their children and their grandchildren and the little girls were outside with their goats and their rams and their sheep. And I never forget standing by that well, giving candy to those children, and watching three shepherds with their flocks of sheep walking in front of the sheep. John chapter 10 came into my mind so perfectly, because the sheep follow the shepherd. And all of a sudden, as I was watching these three shepherds, they were coming to the end of the road, where the road went to the left, it went to the right, and it went straight on. And I thought, I wonder what's going to happen with three shepherds and all these sheep. All of a sudden, every one of those shepherds made a noise with their mouth. And the guy that turned left, those sheep among them went left. The one on the right followed right. And the one going straight, they follow straight. And they separate perfectly and completely. This is where Jesus teaches the lesson in John chapter 10, that we are the sheep of his fold and he is the shepherd. And you think about how Christ not only defends us, protects us, watches over us, because we make a lot of mistakes. And as I was reading the story and I was reading the parable this morning, the first observation that I came to was in verse 11, where Christ becomes the great Savior of the world. The great Savior of the world. The Shepherd of the world. Notice what it says. For the Son of Man, which is a title given to Jesus here, but it's also a title applied in the Old Testament to Ezekiel the prophet. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 3, and verse 6. And then it's also applied to Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 8, verse 17. And then also the title is applied to the Mashiach. Jesus in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And then we see it also of Christ not only here in the Gospel of Matthew, but also in Acts 7, 56 and Revelations 1, 13. Speaking of his humanity, the Son, notice, of man. The purpose that he came. He came from all eternity, living all eternity to come down here, be born of a virgin in a little stable, in literally a cave where sheep were kept. And Jesus was born in that stable when Mary brought forth that child through the power of the Holy Spirit, being pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Who would ever think that this little baby, Jesus, would become the Savior of the world? That he would grow up to be 30 years old, start his ministry, and for 3 years would go out and proclaim salvation to a world that hated him and still does. People hate Jesus. And it's interesting that they can actually worship Muhammad. He was illiterate. He couldn't even read. He had many wives, and he had young little girls that he used as wives. Or Buddha, or Krishna, or there's many, many religions of the world that people become Lutherans or Methodists or Calvary Chapel or Catholics or whatever denomination. And once they enter a church, they think, well, you know what? I'm a church member. Yes, you become a church member of a building, but not the body of Christ. You don't become a member of the body of Christ unless you're born into the kingdom of God. And you can only be born into the kingdom of God by coming to a logical understanding that God has made you a creature that can think and can make choices, not a puppet on a string. He gives you the power to choose. Yes or no? Christ, heaven, or hell? Nobody can ever stand before the Lord and say, Lord, you forced me to come into your kingdom. Never can that happen. Or stand before the Lord and say, Lord, you never gave me an opportunity, because he's going to say to you, you're a liar. Look at all the opportunities you had. But you were too busy. It's really important that we understand that this is a real thing. This is life and eternity and death, to have Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this is why here in verse 11, Jesus, when he speaks to the disciples, he says, for the Son of Man has come, notice the purpose, to save that which was lost. In the Gospel of Luke, he came to seek that which was lost. He's a seeker of lost men, just like the shepherd with the sheep. Very important. God is giving opportunity after opportunity for people to come to the truth. And when he's talking here about the Son of Man coming to save that which is lost, that is his purpose. This means that Christ willingly and deliberately left the glory of heaven to come down here, notice, and humble himself for any person that was lost, and he went to the cross and died for your sins and my sins. That's what Jesus Christ is. That's why when Paul the Apostle was writing the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, he said, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, which means Christ is equal with God. But made himself, Jesus, of no reputation. He didn't come down here to become popular. He came down here to what? To die for sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That lost little sheep. That the shepherd has 99 and leaves them and goes after the one, because a soul is very valuable to the Lord. Very valuable. Why? Because it's eternally. You only live here for a little while. We're temporal here. that when you die, then it's eternal forever and ever and ever. You better think about that. What's 80 years or 80, 90, 100 years here compared to eternity? People are willing to make that chance in their lives, to take a chance and live like hell and then go to hell when they could have gone to heaven. This is why Christ came. He came to give himself. That's why John 3:16, it said, what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he goes on in Romans 3:10, he says, as it is written, there is no one that is righteous, no, not one person. There is none that understand. There is none that seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, an open grave. With their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of a snake is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have never known. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. Wow. That's Paul's description of the natural man. He doesn't fear God. He does whatever he pleases. Nobody is without excuse. God has given you a conscience. A conscience. To know what's true and what's not true.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. It's our joy to encourage and inspire you in your walk with Jesus. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to order this series, Illuminating the Life-Changing Power of Christ's Love. And while you're there, browse our full selection of resources. Now, back to more with Raul Reese.
So when Jesus is speaking in the first verse that we study here, chapter 18, verse 11, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now, the second observation, he gives you the parable so that he can clarify it. Observation number two is Christ is the seeking shepherd after his sheep. Notice what it says, beginning verse 12. He says, what do you think? He's asking a question. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray. The word astray means to wander off, to go on your own. And does not he leave the 99 and goes to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? I mean, if you really are a shepherd, if you're a father, if you're a grandfather, if you're a brother, if you're a friend, are you going to let your best friend, or are you going to let your children or whoever it is that you love go to hell, or are you going to do something about it? What are you going to do? He gives you the story that the real shepherd doesn't stand by. He already has 99 that know the truth. And if one of them departs from the flock and goes astray, he leaves the 99 where they're safe and he goes after the other one until he finds him and brings him back to the fold. Brings him back to the fold. That's the love of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That is the heart of God. You know what's interesting about the word going astray there in verse 12? It's an interesting word. It's an English word. And the English word used here for astray is the word planet. When a planet goes out of its orbit. Think about that. When a planet goes out of its orbit, it's on its own destruction. There's a lot of people on their way to crashing. They're out of God's orbit. And they've chosen to be in their own little orbit. They've gone astray. Away from the truth of Jesus Christ. What the scripture says here. It is of importance that we understand that he talks about one of them as little child. Remember in the verses before, in the previous verses? The little child that he protects. Because he's talking about a little child that they brought before him, and he put him in the front, and he says, unless you have faith like the little child, you will perish. Why? Because to come to Jesus Christ, you have to humble yourself. You have to admit that you have sinned against God. And you have to admit that if you don't come to him, you will go to hell, not heaven. That's the problem with religion. It always lies and deceit. Always lies to people. Gives them a false hope. Christ is up front with you. He says, you either come to me or you depart from me. You're either in or you're out. You're either in the light or you're in darkness. You have to make the choice. Nobody can force you to do that. And to me, it's been amazing studying this passage here. Because as he uses that word, a stray planet that is moving away from its orbit, wandering off in its own orbit, then the second thing that I see is that the sheep have to what? As they're on their way, the shepherd goes out of his way and takes the chance of not only finding his sheep dead, but he finds his sheep going astray. And if you've ever been around sheep, it's interesting that sheep, if I was a shepherd and I wanted my sheep to drink water, I would not take them to a river that is flowing really rushing waters because they would drown. They're so dumb they don't understand that. So you take them to a place where the waters are calm and still, where they can drink freely. Why? Because the shepherd watches over his sheep. He loves them. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's who he is to you and to me. When we come to him, he watches over our lives eternally. Because he's not willing that anybody should perish, but all should come to repentance. And you know what else the shepherd does? Look at verse 13. But it's really cool here. He says, and if the shepherd finds his sheep, assuredly, what does he say? I say unto you, he gets and starts rejoicing more over that sheep than over the 99 that already have not gone astray. Isn't that interesting? He is more happy rejoicing over the one because he knows the 99 are secure. But man, thank God I found the one that didn't want to be part of the 100. There are some of you here today like that. You don't want to be part of the 100. You want to do your own thing. And the Lord is not just with his staff kind of mushing you over and protecting you, watching over you. Sometimes he allows us to go our own way and say, okay, go out and try the world and see what's going to happen. He already knows it, what's going to happen. You're going to end up beat up. You're going to end up hurt. But when a person comes to the conclusion, apart from him, I can do nothing. And you submit your will to the will of God the Father and to his Son, Jesus Christ. And you say, Lord, here I am. I put myself into your hands. Do whatever you want to do. It's like the potter with the clay. The potter sits there on the wheel, and here is the clay, and he does what? He shapes whatever he wants to do with that piece of clay. He molds it and shapes it, and if he doesn't like it, he starts all over again. That's you. That's me. And Paul tells us that those that come to Christ and do not want to come to Christ and stay with Christ, and they go back into the world, what does he do? He chastens those who he loves. Hebrews chapter 12. He chastens you. He'll discipline you. Why? Because you're one of his. You're one of his. A true child of the light cannot get away with anything in their lives. Nothing. Nothing at all. You either surrender and submit, or you rebel and then pay the consequences later on. That's the bottom line. You have to make up your mind who you're going to serve today. Very important. Observation number 3. Check this out. verse 14. Christ the Father are one, he tells you. Verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these, notice this, one of these little ones should perish. He comes back in the parable and brings up what? Those in humility that become like little children that have true faith. Notice that. If you don't have true faith, if you don't become like the little one, then you're going to perish. You're going to perish with all of your pride, all your arrogance. And that's why, number one, God will not allow a single sheep to perish. He'll do everything under his power to get you back to the truth. That's why in 2 Peter 3:9, what does he say? He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance. You come by repentance. Number two, Christ died for the weak, brother. Christ died for the sinner and those that are lost. That's why, thirdly, Christ not only loves the world, but his Father gave him the privilege of sending his only begotten Son into this world to die for the sins of the world. Check this out in John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned, but he or she who does not believe in Jesus Christ is already condemned because he or she has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Wow. That's Jesus speaking. Whenever you see red writing in your Bible, that's the Lord speaking. The red lettering. Jesus says, all that want to come to me, let them what? Come to me, but humble themselves, and then he'll receive you. Otherwise, he can't receive you. You have to admit that you have sinned against God. You have to admit that you were born in sin. You rebelled against God. You did your own thing, but now you're tired, and you've come to the end of your rope, and you come to the end of your life, and you have to make a decision before it's too late. Because once you take your last breath and you close your eyes and your spirit departs from your body, then eternity starts all over again forever and ever and ever. This is just a preview here. Eternity's coming. There's no more death in eternity. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And if you go to hell, hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire with the Antichrist, the false prophet, every angel that fell with Satan, Satan himself, and every person whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. But not so for those that are in the light. Not for those that come by faith to Jesus Christ. Not by those who become little children and humble themselves in the presence of God.
It is amazing to know that we are deeply loved by Jesus, and he seeks us out individually to enjoy a saving relationship with him. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's lesson, The Parable of the Lost Sheep, in its unedited form, we'll be happy to send a copy to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. To further underscore Jesus' care as a faithful shepherd, we'd like to tell you about this entire 13-lesson series from Raul. It's titled, Why the Cross Mattered and Still Does. Available on either CD or flash drive, this study will ground your heart in God's unconditional grace and establish your faith in his gift of salvation through Jesus. You'll also learn more about the rich blessings that come from submission to the Lord. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' 13-message study, Why the Cross Mattered and Still Does. We'll send you the CD set for $25 or the thumb drive for just $16. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Thanks for your partnership in sharing God's eternal word. Every contribution you make is tax deductible. Tune in again next time as we continue to explore the far-reaching impact of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We'll get a challenge to follow Jesus' example in extending grace to those who've wronged us, even when it seems justified to harbor unforgiveness. That's next time on Somebody Loves You Radio. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.